song has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of The Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. We are back in studio, and we are back from Dallas, where Big 12 Media Days occurred Monday through Wednesday. Doug Duda along with Big Daddy Tony Davis. Merritt's in for Derek today. I've never known a guy that takes 4 days to move out of an apartment. And apparently that's what Derek's doing.
I thought Boston lost, and that was the reason he wasn't here.
I have no idea what's going on. Zach Greinke leaves the game. Can you explain this to me, Tony? And then I got another question, and then we're going to get into the day's work and football. Greinke pitched 6 innings, 5 hits, 3-2 lead. They took him out. Well, you know what's going to happen after you take him out. You're going to lose. Unless you continue to score runs. I mean, they're going to give up runs. The point here in Kansas City, up 3-2, lose 7-3.
Yeah.
Why would you take him out?
Hey, do we talk to people in Kansas City that have ties to papers in Kansas or in Dallas that have they're tied to papers in Kansas City? Did we talk to people in Dallas that are from newspapers in Kansas City that say that Trey Hillman just does weird, weird things?
Yeah, it's just not consistent. He may not be long for the world. They're going to have to win some games. Okay, so this morning, would you rather be a fan of the Kansas City Royals or the Pittsburgh Pirates?
You mean because they traded their second baseman away?
Well, and pitcher.
Well, I don't know. My friend JP in Elwood, that is his team, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the only Pirates fan I know. Don't have a clue. But I guess you would say Royals because they haven't.
Get a clue. You're not getting anybody when you trade these people off. If you were, you'd be winning. You just continue to trade them?
Well, that's what Kansas City's done for so long until, what, the last year we didn't?
Are they winning?
No.
All right. 1-888-455-ESPN. The Dent Popper inbox is open. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Glad to have you along with us on this Thursday. Thursday means Joe DeMeo from FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Also coming up in a little bit here on the show, we're going to catch up with Brad Archer, Kearney Post 52, three-time state champions, Class A American Legion Junior State Tournament. They do it at home. I had a great crowd on hand, and it took an extra game, but they got the job done. And Kearney now has won it 3 consecutive seasons, and we will talk to Coach Archer in just a little bit here on the show.
Yeah, congratulations once again to that crew. Three times, to do a three-peat, I don't care what level you're at. That's just an amazing feat. And unfortunately, you always like to see, I guess as a youngster, and these kids can say baseball season, it was a long season, and we're glad to have some time. I still got to think, if you win state at the junior level, you still like, man, those other guys got to see where they ranked with the rest of those juniors regionally and made a great run. I think that's still in the back of your mind going, where would we have stood up against those guys? And they don't get to do that this year because they've eliminated that regional tournament. But nonetheless, congratulations, guys. Great, great season.
Well, their season's over, but it's not over for like 27,000 little league teams and little kids softball, little kids baseball. They're going on to state and nationals, and we're going to be telling you more about that as we get ready. And now state gets going for classes B and C in senior action. And here's what's going on. Here's the brackets for a Class B and C that are going on at West Point and at Wisner this weekend. So it all gets underway tomorrow. And here's what we've got for you starting in Class B. And we will go to the first game of the day up at Wayne. I think I said Wisner, West Point, whatever the hell I said. Lexington, they're going to be playing in Wayne.
Do you want to start over?
I'm back. We're back from Dallas. Lexington and Nebraska City tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Sydney and Valparaiso at 2. O'Neill and Omaha Roncalli at 5. And Gretna and Wayne, the host, will play at 8 o'clock. West Point side of Class C at 12 noon. St. Paul will take on Crofton at 2:30. Elwood Eustis will take on Adams at 5 o'clock. Dakin Meridian will take on UTAN. And then the host, West Point, will take on Wakefield. Nice draw there. You get to play them again. West Point and Wakefield, 8 o'clock in the double elimination tournament for Classes B and C.
That will be the end of all baseball except for the playoff between the four state champions.
No, they don't do that anymore. B and C get to play, but the Class A guys, that's why they started a week earlier. They get done, and the Class A teams are moving on to their regional tournaments.
And these guys are just done, huh?
Yeah.
That's the first time.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore. I realize the B and C team hardly ever does, but you know what? So what? Hardly in BCS. Every once in a while, Boise State wins. Every once in a while, somebody wins. So,
Doug, well, we didn't get a comment much on this in Dallas, but we did get to take a tour of the new stadium. The 1.4, 1.2, 1.6, whatever you want to say is a figure you've heard of the new Dallas Cowboys facility in Arlington, Texas, which happens to be right down the street from the baseball field in which the Texas Rangers play in. There is going to be a huge debate, and there's already been a push among South coaches to play in this facility, to make this the permanent home, such as like Atlanta was the permanent home of the SEC championship. Is it a big deal to always go to Dallas with this game in the heart of the South, or is it just one of those deals that the North's going to have to concede and you're going to have to use it in recruiting tools as, hey, the best facility in the world, this is where you're going to go if you're a champion?
It is hard to find a North division, a North field that is fair. If you could guarantee at least somewhat decent weather in Kansas City, but this crap of playing in 20-degree temperatures, it's not fun for anybody. It's just not. And it doesn't give an advantage to the North people. If you think it gives an advantage to the North, no, it doesn't. These kids are playing in pretty decent weather most of the season. The kids from the South probably have to find one or two bad games a year as well. But the best should play where weather has no effect on what's going on. You know, rain, snow, sleet, ice, blizzard conditions, cold, overly hot. If you can play it inside, that's where we're at this day and age. And don't give me that crap that football should be played outside. You know what? Play it where everybody can enjoy it. And right now, Dallas has the best. Now, with that said, I don't think there's anything wrong with San Antonio. I don't think there's anything wrong with Houston. I don't think there's anything wrong with St. Louis. It just depends who wants it. Go to the indoor facilities. Kansas City, maybe they're going to throw them one more bone, give it to them in 2011, and that's it. Because I don't know if they'll make it permanent in Dallas, but, boy, it'll be there half the time. And I think that's fine. The only people that would get the thing is that the Commissioner Dan Beebe talked to us about on the show yesterday is you want to get that solid fan base, like, you know, pick the College World Series. Doesn't matter who's in. You've got fans from Omaha and Nebraska. They're going to go to the College World Series every year no matter what. Now, that's a different animal in Texas where there's so many things to do and so many choices for your ticket. But if you leave it in Dallas, you got a base there. You got a fan base. Say, you know what? First Saturday in December, we're going to the Big 12 championship game. Doesn't matter who's in it. And if you start bopping in every other year and every third year, well, then you don't have that consistency. Now we already got this plan. We already got that plan. It'll be interesting. Obviously, right now, it looks don't award it to him for 10 years. Keep it on a continual year-to-year, two-year contract basis. But it's going there. It's going there. As long as Jerry Jones and the Cowboys don't think that they have to run everything that is concerned with outside the facility. $50 to park, $25 to park a long way away, that's insane. We are not there yet, people. We're not there yet. Where you need to pay $25 to park and then walk a mile or 2 miles to get to the stadium, that's just insane. We're not there yet in the Midwest. Tell me we're not there in the Midwest. This is not New York. This is not L.A. This is not where we're building on top of everybody, and we don't have room to park, because we do. Right now, where that area is with the Arlington Ballpark and Six Flags and the Texas Stadium, there's still a lot of development to do, because you don't have to look very far to see places you don't want to be. So, yes, it's going to be in Dallas for a while is the long answer to your question. It'll be in Dallas for quite a bit here in the next 10 years.
Yeah, I think it'll be in Dallas, too, and I think that's going to be I think people can be excited about that. I think it obviously is the best facility in the world. You can say what you want about the South having an advantage and more fans, because I really got to think that when Kansas and Nebraska and now Colorado, I wouldn't throw them in there as far as traveling rate, Missouri, those fans will make that trip. They will find a way to get to Dallas and get their hands on tickets. Now, I don't know how much you're going to pay to park on those deals. I think Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys have already conceded. I don't think there's going to be a problem as far over budget as they were. They've already showed they want to get acts in there. They want to get quality acts in there. And U2's coming. They played a soccer match on the Sunday night.
They've already had George Strait, the Jonas
right.
Brothers. They've already had stuff in there. The field's not down yet.
Yeah,
at the new stadium.
I mean, but they're filling the venue and supporting the venue in every way imaginable to get people in there and to draw revenue.
What'd you think of the actual stadium? We didn't really talk about our tour of the stadium. It seems really big, really open. A lot of places where millionaires can go watch games, but for the general fan, it looks like $8 for a beer, and you know, normal Quest Center prices, and the football field, you know, it's pretty slanted. In the old Texas Stadium, 60,000. The upper level seats were more, I would
distant.
Say, where? Back. You know, with putting 80,000 in there, it's not built farther back. It's just built higher up and a little bit more of a slant where you look down and go, whoo. So people will enjoy it.
I still would wonder if you're in that fifth level or what it is, sixth level or whatever it is up there, if you can see the other side of the field, because that scoreboard and thingatron.
Yeah, the scoreboard's too big. The scoreboard is too big.
It's really going to take
away.
I want
to see somebody that takes the first picture of the first Dallas game there, get a good view of the fans and the jumbotron early. Nobody's going to be looking at the field. They're all going to be looking up. So there you go. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us anytime to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Joining us in the last segment, Brad Archer from Kearney Post 52 is going to be joining us. The sporting news, needing to write about something at this time of the year, has put together their list of the 50 greatest coaches of all time in any sport, pro, college. Tom Osborne, 34th on Sporting News list of 50 greatest coaches of all time.
How would you do that?
Oh, they had like 75 guys on this committee that went in. Number one?
Whoa. Lombardi.
He's number two.
I'm trying to think baseball.
No, it's John Wooden. We're going to take a break and be back with more. Brad Archer joins us after this.
You can go psycho. You can hurt yourself or someone else.
I don't know. I think a man could get used to this. Grow to love it.
Careful out there. Doug and Danny will be right back. Sportsman's Restaurant and Lounge is doing their part to stimulate the economy. Every Saturday from now until further notice, Sportsman's is offering their famous Black Angus Nebraskaland 8-ounce sirloin tip steak dinner for a reduced price of $8.85. That includes a potato and a country fresh salad bar. Dinner starts at 5 o'clock, so head to sunny downtown Gibbon and tempt your taste buds and stimulate your wallet, all at Sportsman's Restaurant and Lounge.
Let's face it, as much fun as summer is, our skin pays the price with burns and bites. Get to ABC Drug for sunscreens that are at least 15 SPF or above and fight against harmful UVA and UVB rays. ABC carries a sunblock that has a bug repellent. Fight the sun and the pesky mosquitoes, too. ABC Drug and Gift is your summer soothing Health Mart headquarters on the bricks, downtown Kearney.
It's just as easy as ABC Drugstore.
There are too many reasons that you want your RV vacation to go right than to have one little thing make it go wrong. Rich and Sons RV Headquarters already knows what needs to be done, and they've packaged it together for you. Click on their website, richsonsrv.com, for service plans ranging from appliance checks to generator service, wheel bearings, leak tests, and inspections. When you schedule, tell them you're an ESPN listener and get 10 more bucks off any of the listed packages. Log on to richsonsrv.com.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Fawner Park.
Pepper up your weekend with great food and nonstop action entertainment at Fawner Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. Watch and wager on nationwide thoroughbred racing 11:40 a.m. to 10:30 p.m., including the Columbus races from Ag Park. Plus, enjoy live draw keynote, full menu dining and bar, and the prime rib weekend special. Live it up at Fawner Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge, Grand Island.
The first ever ESPN Radio Superstation Golf Challenge is coming August 13th to 14th at Indian Head. You can play either day, $60 a player. Prizes in the top three places, top two prizes, cash or gift cards. Log on to ESPNSuperstation.com for details and to download an entry form. Sign up early for shirt size preferences, best date, and tee time selection. Brought to you by Bud Light, Roy's Grand Dodge, and ESPN Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM.
I should have yelled two.
Mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies develop through the day today with a high in the upper 70s. Northwest winds will also turn a bit gusty at times. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies and light winds with a low around 52. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 66.
Back on the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox. Ken says, I saw some of the top 10 tournament over the weekend. Look for Wood River and St. Paul to challenge Kearney Catholic for the Lou Platt title in volleyball. Stars will get better as the year goes on. Unfortunately, Columbus Scotus will be hard to beat again, not because of superior talent, but due to one hell of a coach. Ken's Catholic. But then he goes on and says, hey, based on the comments from the coaches and media at the Big 12 Media Days, there will be a two-way tie for first in the South Division, and the rest of the teams will finish second. The only honest guys there were Bo and the Iowa State coach. Ken, that would be Paul Rhodes.
Well, I don't know what Paul Rhodes would have had to say that would have been encouraging because...
They are not going to be good. I'm going to tell you that. I think Austin Arnott is going to be good, and we will hear from him in the upcoming days. We had a chance to talk to him at Big 12 Media Days and a lot of other folks as well, including Ndamukong Suh. We were going to play that for you yesterday, and we just... had so much going on live that we were going to save that. So we're going to play Mr. Suh tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, the preseason Big 12 Conference Player of the Year, and we will continue to bring you some of the interviews that we got down in Dallas over the next couple, 3 weeks.
Looking forward to that. But right now we're going to talk a little Kearney post 52 juniors in a three-peat with the head coach Brad Archer. Arch joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Thanks so much for letting us catch up with you, and congratulations, Coach, on a great season.
You bet, and thank you.
Brad, this was one of those that took a second game, and you had a great crowd on hand for the championship, but I want to know your emotions as you're getting ready for the second championship. You guys had all the momentum and then dropped the first game of the tournament. What goes on between those two games with you and the talk you have with the kids?
Well, first of all, I'd like to go to your comment with the crowd. You know, we had, you know, it's one thing winning the state tournament, but when you can win it on your own field, that's another thing. And just commenting on the crowds that we had, you know, I would say over the five-day tournament, you know, things worked out about as well as they possibly could. We played the late game every night, and, you know, I think we probably ended up somewhere with between 4,000 and 4,500 people over the 5 days of the tournament. So we had tremendous support from the city of Kearney, and something that not only the Kearney kids, but I think the other teams that were in the tournament that had an opportunity to play in front of that many people will never forget. As far as the two games is concerned, you know, we've been in that situation a number of times, and it's tough. Obviously, you'd like to win the first game, but because of the Legion bracket and the pitching and those type of things, you kind of get yourself in a situation where the other team knows they have to win, so they throw their better pitchers in that first game, and you're trying to maybe save a couple kids in case you do have to play the second game, so it kind of puts everyone in a difficult situation. But, you know, we just set the kids down, we talked to them, and they understood that, you know, we could have lost earlier in the tournament, and it would have came down to a one-game situation as well. And it's like we tell the kids all the time when we get to that situation, you know, if, at the start of the year, if we told you that, you know, you're going to be playing on the last day of the season for one game, winner-take-all, would you take it? And, you know, to a man, they would. And so it's just a matter of getting regrouped and understanding the nature of the game.
Arch, it came down to you guys really applying pressure in that second game. We talked about it all the way through the College World Series, and any time the stage is so big, any time you can put the pressure, you guys jump right on them in that second one.
Well, we did, and that was huge. And anything that any momentum that we maybe lost the first game, I think we got right back by being able to come back in that second game and score three runs right off the bat, and kind of got everybody back into it if they were a little bit down. And as you said, that was huge.
Brad Archer joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He's the head coach of Kearney Post 52. They've won their third straight American Legion championship. Coach, every game was close until the last one. You had 3-2. You had 20-18. Every game, I guess, made it a little more exciting and probably a little more nerve-wracking. What do you attribute the kids' guts to be able to pull out the first three that were all close?
Well, I think, you know, number one, you have to have talent, and which we certainly do, and we had a nice pitching staff, and we really played good, solid defense throughout the year. And as far as those games are concerned, you know, that's how it's supposed to be when you get to the state tournament, and our kids just performed. We made quality pitches certain times where we had to have it, and made some great defensive plays both in the infield, and of course Drew Butler had a nice diving catch the other night, and we just played solid, consistent baseball, which is something that we were able to do throughout the year.
Arch, talking to you, you know, in times throughout the season, you really like the depth of this pitching staff. Really, there's no sense of panic at all going into that last game, was there, when you lost the first one?
Well, not really. I mean, we were bringing Dylan Schroeder back, who had thrown on Saturday against Papillion South and had a really nice outing against them. And when you combine the way he threw against Papio South and the defense that we played behind him that night, that might have been our overall best game of the year as far as pitching and defense were concerned. And we were facing Papio South's number one pitcher. And when you have two good kids on the mound and both teams are playing great defense, then you end up with the score that we did. You know, it was 0-0 going to the sixth inning, and they were able to string a couple runs together, and then we came back in the bottom of the inning and scored three, and that's all the scoring that was done that game. So it was probably one of the better games that I've been involved with as far as throwing everything in there. But, yeah, we have some depth in the pitching staff, you know, with Taylor Fish. And, you know, Taylor's a competitor. He's a great kid. You know, it's just unfortunate for him. You know, we tried to throw him in that first game, but very tough combination for him being one of our better pitchers, if not the best, and then having to catch as well. And that's just a real tough combination. But he tried to gut it out in that first game, but I knew sitting down in the bullpen that his arm was tired, and he wasn't going to have his normal stuff, but he still went out there and gave us four or five good innings. And you know, if we could have maybe made a play here or there, got an extra base hit, we might have been able to win that first game. But it didn't work out that way. But again, he gave us a great effort there. And then going into the second game with Dylan, as I said, you know, he just threw on Saturday, but he's a shortstop and doesn't have to make near as many throws as Taylor does from behind the plate. And his arm really comes back well, and he just did a phenomenal job. And as I've said before in the paper and whatnot, he's just been a strike machine all year, as well as Taylor's also. But Dylan just did a great job. I don't think he had any walks in the championship game. He was on top of the hitters all night long, and with the plays that the kids were able to make behind him as well, just threw the ball across the plate, and they hit some balls hard. But fortunately for us, it was right at us, and then also we made some nice plays.
Aren't you got to think the only way this could have been more perfect is if you'd have had some hair to dye blonde.
Well, you know, that's exactly right, and I wish I did. They wanted me to kind of dye my goatee, but I had to put the stop on that. So. But no, you're exactly right.
Brad, the standard question can be asked when you're able to repeat or three-peat or keep things going. What's been the difference in the last 3 years with these teams? They've all won championships, but each one's been a little different.
Well, they have, but you know, everything starts with the pitching, and we've been blessed to have some very quality pitchers at the top of our pitching lineup, and then to have the records that we have as far as the regular season is concerned. Obviously, we've been very deep, and I think you could go back to all three teams and make those comments, and then. You know, also, when you get to the state tournament, as you mentioned earlier, there's a lot of close games. And if you go back over the last 3 years, we won our share of 3-2, 1-0 games. We had Manny Rice hit a walk-off grand slam. There's three or four games in there that, to be honest with you, if the other team would have got one more hit, we would have lost. We've been in a situation where we've had the tying or lead run at second, third with you know, we still needed to get one out, and we've been able to do that. And that's just like the other night in the first game of the tournament with Millard West Cats. They had runners at second, third with one out in the seventh inning, and if they get a base hit, we maybe end up getting beat 5-4 instead of winning 4-3. But Fish was able to come through and strike out the last two hitters, and as I said, he's very, very competitive, and he's done that throughout the year. And then to get by that Papio South game. Like I said, they had their number one pitcher on the mound. We had only had two hits going into the sixth inning, but after they put up the two spot, we were able to come back and score three. So a lot of exciting games, a lot of kids performing when the pressure was on.
Okay, Arch, you keep winning these championships. You kind of put your buddy Sponge on the hot seat, don't you?
Well, I hope not, you know. That's one thing. When you talk about the level that I'm coaching at and the kids that we have, we're only going to be successful if our seniors are successful. And Coach Spomberg is as big a part of this as anyone. He does a great job with the seniors. And as long as we can keep quality kids out and keep our numbers up, then that dictates how good we are at our level. You know, if we get to the point where our numbers are not real good or the talent level is not good, then you have to start bringing kids up. Maybe before they're even ready, and I think that's what a lot of towns are running into, and right now we've been able to stay away from that. So as long as we can keep our seniors at the level that they've played at and keep our numbers out, then we should continue to have some success. But as soon as that dies down, like I said, that's going to make a difference at every level.
Brad Archer with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. They've won three consecutive American Legion Junior State titles. They've done it in three different cities. You talked about the crowd, but the city of Kearney does a great job, again, hosting all the teams, a lot of volunteers putting in their time. The field is immaculate all the time, working with some of the folks at UNK and the city of Kearney. I know you can throw thanks out to all of those. But I guess last question, Arch, three different titles. You've celebrated on three different fields. I just got to ask, if you had to rank the tournament directors, how would you rank those the last 3 years?
Well, I don't know. You know, I really like the first two. The third one that we had here in Kearney, you know, he can be a little grumpy at times, but he hung in there and did a great job, and everything went very smooth, and he deserves a lot of credit, as well as our parents that have been with us, obviously, throughout the summer, and a lot of community members helped out as well, and obviously we have the city that takes care of the field, and then also Damon Day and his staff that provided a few things for the umpires, a place to stay and cool off and watch TV and those types of things. So it's a community effort, and we have a great relationship with the community and the park department, and UNK and the Legion work exceptionally well together. So it's a lot of people, a lot of kids, a lot of parents, a lot of, like I said, community members all kind of pulling for the same thing.
Congratulations once again, Coach. You're the best.
All right, thanks. You guys take it easy and have a great day.
Thanks, Brad. Brad Archer, he is the coach of the three-time defending state champions at the Class A junior level, Kearney Post 52. We'll have our own parade for him later. Congratulations to all the teams that have done so well this summer. And as we mentioned earlier in the show, B and C seniors get going tomorrow. Also going on this weekend, just a few spots left in the Coors Miller four-person scramble at the Kearney Country Club, brought to you by your Nebraska Land Distributors. Golf on Saturday and Sunday. Your entry fee includes a practice round on Friday, and you'll need tee times for Friday as well. Plus, there's a two-person shootout Friday night. The banquet on Saturday night, Calcutta to go along with it, and then the money round on Sunday. So don't forget to get signed up today. Contact the golf shop, either drop in or give them a call. If you're from out of town, they'd love to have you. 237-2553, 237-2553. It's this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, your practice round Friday, if you'd like to take part in that as well. The annual four-person Coors Miller Scramble, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, practice round Friday, golf on the scramble Saturday and Sunday, brought to you by Nebraska Land Distributors, Coors Light, Miller Light. And that is this weekend at the Kearney Country Club, 237-2553. When we come back, a little more football talk. Joe DiMeo joins us from FantasyPlayersEdge.com in the last segment. All that and more after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM. Hey, guys, the boss just asked when we dropped our grade school requirement for all on-air personnel.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. In this rough economy, it seems like every day another company's losing money and laying off employees. It's nice to hear some good news, and we've got some. Vizio, America's HD TV company, wants to thank you for making them America's fastest growing company there. And how are they doing it? With a $1 million event from now until August 31st. They'll give away $1 million worth of their biggest and highest performing HD TV, the all-new 55-inch Vizio XVT series. Log on now, www.vizio.com, to enter to win. Vizio, where vision meets value.
Belts, fluids, hoses. Little things we all ignore, but make a big difference over the long haul. Right now, Midas will change your oil, rotate your tires, and check your brakes. All for just $24.99. That's an oil change, free tire rotation, and visual brake check for just $24.99. Midas. We're on this road together.
Up to 5 quarts multi-grade oil, taxes, and synthetics extra. Shop fees may apply. Most vehicles, limited time offer at participating Midas.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
You have more power than you may realize when it comes to managing your health care costs. With a health savings account partnered with the right health plan, you gain control over your medical dollars. Ask today about the new HSA eligible plans, available from two names you trust, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, and your Farm Bureau agent. With Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, you get the best of both. Matt Myers and Rich Peters are independent and authorized insurance producers of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. For your health insurance needs in the Kearney area, call Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Make the call today and get the best of both with Farm Bureau and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska.
Mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies develop through the day today with a high in the upper 70s. Northwest winds will also turn a bit gusty at times. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies and light winds with a low around 52. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 66.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Kansas City Royals baseball immediately following the Doug and Daddy Show. They've got a very early start today in Baltimore, and they're about ready to get underway. We will be bringing you the rest of the action right after the Doug and Daddy Show going on here today on ESPN Radio. So remember that. Royals fell last night to Baltimore 7-3 after winning the first two games. Greinke's pitch count, 114, one of the callers said, after six innings. Really?
Well, okay, 114, and what he let was it Meshko 132 or 134 for his complete game?
Really? I'm sure that's why he pulled him, but wow. So he ham and egged it last night while we were on a plane on the way home. Jabba Chamberlain, he's in the zone right now for the Yankees, 4-0 over his last seven starts, 5-0 in nine starts on the road. He pitched eight scoreless innings, and again, they're up 6-0, but we're not going to pitch Jabba. I got to ask you, Jabba's not 19. He's not 21. Why is he so much more special than any other young pitcher in Major League Baseball right now? The kid's got a shutout two-hitter, I believe it was, through eight innings. His pitch count was around 100. Every other major leaguer would be out there in the ninth inning. And it's not like Jabba's had arm problems. What's going on? I mean, I understood the first year. I got that. But what?
Well, throw on top of that, why is Jabba come in like he's the enforcer of the mafia and throwing at Evan Longoria? What has Jabba Chamberlain done to put himself as the intimidator? He doesn't have four 22-win seasons in a row.
And he's not going to if they continue to only pitch him five, six innings. And last night, because he had the shutout, he was able to get deeper into the ball game. He's not gonna.
Why does he think he can go out there and throw at people's best guy? He wasn't the opening day starter for the Yankees.
Roger Clemens got too deep into his head that first season. That's what I'd say. Because he didn't do it at Nebraska, and he didn't do it during the summer in the minor leagues. So.
No, he'd never done it anywhere, except when he gets to be with the Yankees.
Well, he might have done it at UNK when Damon told him to.
Well, who tells him that he can be a bully?
I don't know. Brian Dunsing, former Husker, got a start last night. It was a late scratch for the Twins. Francisco Liriano was out, so he comes in and pitches five innings. Didn't figure in the decision. Allowed two earned runs, three hits, five innings, struck out two. So Dunson getting the start for the Twins last night. And to our Pittsburgh Steeler fans, Heath Miller has signed a six-year contract through 2014. I like Heath.
Good, solid player.
He is a good player. We talked about yesterday on the show Mike McNeil being added to the award watch list, the John Mackey award watch list. We'll start getting one of those a day. And now a story that just kind of tweaks me. And I was glad to see, you know, Peter Yazvak always takes care of us at UNK. And he gives us a heads up that Tervell Delagna is going to be in Sports Illustrated this week's edition. Mark Burley's on the cover for throwing the perfect game. Tervell Delagna in Sports Illustrated. I thought, wow, an ambassador. CNN has done a story. He has been on CNN on a story when they were wrestling in Iran a year ago or over the winter. He's had national. He's a face in the crowd. A face in the crowd is the 13-year-old that threw it five no-hitters in Little League, is the swimmer, you know, that came back from a hard injury or a bad illness. Faces in the crowd is a chess player. Faces in the crowd is not a member of the United States, is not the best heavyweight wrestler in the United States. That's what they just did. Tervell Delagna today is the best heavyweight wrestler, as it's been proven, on the mat in the United States of America, and he's a face in the crowd.
Where did you say you just got done wrestling at on your sports this morning?
Azerbaijan, which is Iran, I believe. Somewhere over there.
And that's
I think
how,
that's what Tervell told me.
You said that very confidently this morning, by the way,
yes.
Which I was very, very happy for you.
Yes, I am.
Azerbaijan.
Yes.
I had no idea where that was, so thanks for the history lesson.
Face in the crowd, you should do a story on the kid.
Well, Johnny Dorn is a face in the crowd when he hit two grand slams in the same game.
Well, yeah, in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see, you see high school, junior high kids, and you see senior citizens over 40 not in professional sports. You know, hey, won the three-time croquet world champion or disc golf world champion or went over and beat the Brits at darts. You know, that's their face in the crowd. Not Tervell Delagna. What a kick in the...
Carabas?
Yeah, that's crap. That's crap. Tervell, you're a hell of a lot cooler than that. Well, let's just say he's probably going to be, hopefully, a kid that was a face in the crowd and then makes maybe the cover of Sports Illustrated someday. A Rulon Gardner. I'm not going to say he's going to ever be in that position to do that, but you never know. He's on route right now. Face in the crowd. really. So let's talk about the Sporting News. They are the better publication today than Sports Illustrated, because that's a joke. Sporting News, top 50 coaches of all time in any sport. John Wooden, number one, UCLA basketball coach. And, you know, I feel like I shouldn't have to say that. Merritt, do you know who John Wooden was?
He coached at UCLA, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, outside of that, let's face it, you're kind of a sports geek, buff, nerd like the rest of us.
I've heard a couple interviews of the past, but I couldn't tell you.
And he's still alive, yeah. See, I have to say that because kids that are in college, high school, just out of college, probably 50-50 they've even heard of John Wooden. 50-50. Won 10 championships, had the longest winning streak in college basketball history at the Division I men's level. John Wooden. Vince Lombardi, who coached the Green Bay Packers, number two. Bear Bryant, number three.
What?
Well, that's fine. You can say what. Who would you put above him right now? Is there somebody missing? I'm not even going to read the next names. Who? Who's above Bear Bryant? Give me somebody right now.
Well, I'm saying as far as college coaches go.
Any coach.
I'm just saying as far as college coaches go, he doesn't hold the record for wins, the career win percentage.
Different era.
Okay.
You think Bobby Bowden's a better coach than Bear Bryant? Hell no.
I think you could.
Bryant was a coach the whole time he was there.
I think you could put Paterno, Bowden, Osborne, any of those guys above Bear Bryant.
You have lost your marbles. Number four, Phil Jackson. Number five, Don Shula. Number six, Red Auerbach. Number seven, Scotty Bowman, NHL. Number eight, Dean Smith, North Carolina coach. Number nine, Casey Stengel. They put him as the best manager in Major League history. And what I'm seeing here, whoever wins the most games is at the top of this list.
Except for Bear Bryant.
Well, Bear Bryant held the record when he retired. And he didn't last much longer after that on this earth, so say what you want. And that was when they were only playing 10 games, maybe 11 games a year, as compared to 14 now. And Newt Rockne, he rounds out the top 10. First woman, right below, Pat Summitt. Yeah. Paul Brown, NFL, 12th. Joe Paterno, 13th. George Halas, 14th. Chuck Knoll, former coach of the Steelers. Four Super Bowls, and he's 15th.
Yeah.
Don Shula, 5th. Chuck Knoll, 15th. Bobby Knight, 16th. Joe Gibbs, 17th.
Really?
Tom Landry, 18th. Mike Krzyzewski, 19th. And Bill Belichick, 20th. Some others, Adolph Rupp from Kentucky basketball, 21st. Eddie Robinson,
23rd. Belichick behind Joe Gibbs. Now, I realize there's the longevity deal that Joe is probably around quite a bit longer already than Bill, but Super Bowls and whatnot, it's not close.
Bill Walsh, 26th. Woody Hayes, 27th. Now, that's one where I guess, not being an Ohio State historian, I'd have to say maybe T.O.'s a little above Woody, but who knows. Bud Wilkinson from Oklahoma, 29th. Pat Riley, 30th. Joe Torre, 32nd. Bill Parcells, 33rd. Tom Osborne, 34th. Walter Alston, 35th. Bo Schembechler, 36th. Toe Blake. And obviously, because you have no idea who he is, he was a coach in what sport?
Baseball? What? Long time ago.
Hockey. Sparky Anderson, 38th. Tony La Russa, 41st. Gino Auriemma, the coach at Connecticut, 42nd. Ara Parsegian, 44th. Bobby Cox, 46th. Hank Iba, 47th. Tommy Lasorda, 48th. Greg Popovich, 49th. Really? Greg Popovich didn't like him when they hired, well, he hired himself and sat there with great athletes. No. And Herb Brooks, who coached in the NHL, but most famously coached, of course, the U.S. hockey team in the 1980 Olympics, is 50th. So, yeah, there's again something up for debate.
No Barry Switzer.
Barry Switzer not on the top 50, no.
Mayor,
no Jimmy Johnson.
Well,
we got Joe DeMeo here.
So that's the top 50. And as we do every Thursday here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Joe DeMeo will join us here from FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Well, we're just talking about the top 50 coaches that Sporting News put out today. You got any input who your favorite coach in any sport of all time was that they went with John Wooden?
No, but my favorite coaches are fantasy coaches, guys. So I'm thinking, Doug, that you are absolutely one of my favorite coaches of all times.
You're a good man, Joe. Hey, we've been in Dallas at Big 12 Media Days all week. I'm going to be honest. We've barely had a chance to pay attention to or get deep into anything. We see the scores. Jabba Chamberlain's red hot right now for the Yankees. What is the big story in baseball here the last week? Give us your headline at Fantasy Players Edge.
Well, the last minute and a half, Ortiz and Ramirez were linked to that 2003 list of steroid users. So let's get that out in the open now. You'll be talking about it a lot later. I'm certain of it. In the interest of fantasy sports, it's a big fat. Who cares? It doesn't matter. So turning our attention back to fantasy, there was some decent pitching last night that I think I want to bring to the attention of the folks in the Kearney-Lincoln area. Ryan Roland-Smith for Seattle was absolutely brilliant yesterday. He out-dueled Roy Halladay, allowing the Blue Jays 2 runs in 7 innings. The Padres' top prospect, Matt Latos, absolutely stonewalled the Reds yesterday. He allowed a solo home run and a walk in 7 innings. Ian Great American, which in and of itself is a feat to get out of that park without allowing, you know, half a dozen runs, in and of itself is a feat. So young Latos looks like he can be added along with Roland Smith if you are, you know, needing starting pitching for the stretch run. A couple of infielders that are hot right now. You might want to look at Alberto Colasso for the Royals. And believe it or not, Adam Kennedy and Howie Kendrick. Kendrick, we know, can hit, but he's finally starting to come around. Adam Kennedy's just been on a roll. Hit his eighth home run. He's batting .296. A couple of outfielders in Case. And yesterday I reported that Matt LaPorta might be the Indian brought up to replace Francisco. Ben Francisco was part of the Cliff Lee trade. Well, the Indians have decided to bring up Trevor Crowe, him of the .176 batting average, and leave Matt LaPorta, the prize rookie, in the farm system. So, you know, maybe LaPorta comes up in September. But anybody who's been rostering or holding this kid or picked him up as speculation, you can put him back on waivers. Trevor Crowe is coming to play right field for Cleveland. Garrett Anderson's been great for the Braves. Got his average at .302. And last with Brent Gardner down for the Yankees, look for Melky Cabrera to get at least six starts a week. And he's a, believe it or not, a very effective hitter. He's got a little bit of power, and he can steal a base.
Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You can get all your baseball, football information at the website. We talk with him every Thursday. Joe, the trade deadline's coming up. Cliff Lee goes yesterday. Pittsburgh gets rid of anybody that's still decent on their team with Freddie Sanchez and Jack Wilson. But in the grand scheme of things, these trades don't really mean anything to your team, because if you got these guys and you're starting them, you're still going to start them, aren't you?
Sure, of course. I mean, what difference does it make if you're starting Sanchez in Pittsburgh, if you start Sanchez in San Francisco? Cliff Lee, you're not all of a sudden going to bench him because he's pitching in Citizens Bank Park, which we all know is a hitter's park. Some guys benefited. Matt Holliday, leaving Oakland where he was, batting in front of Giambi, and now find himself batting behind Pujols and in front of Ryan Lubick. Look for Matt Holliday to have the best stretch of his career, and that includes the time he spent in Colorado. But you're exactly right. From a fantasy perspective, who cares? You're still going to play these guys regardless of where they sit, and you're not going to cut a guy that you've been using all season because he was traded to a team that might not be as good as the team that he left. So, you're right. It's a big non sequitur for fantasy players.
Joe, one team that's kind of weathered the storm and taken over the division and leads the division right now is the Chicago Cubs. How have they been able to do it? And offensive production, I know, has been one key.
Well, and Richie Harden has really come back to play. His last three starts have been remarkable. The youngster, Randy Wells, has been the ace of the staff prior to Harden stepping up. Zambrano is still serviceable. Their bullpen still gets them in and out, gets themselves in trouble and gets themselves out of trouble. Aramis Ramirez coming back, huge for Chicago, just huge. And he just anchors that lineup. And Soriano now hitting out of the six box like the Soriano that the Cub fans had thought they had picked up several years ago. So a lot of things are going right for Chicago all at once. And it's enabled them quietly to kind of get by the Cardinals and put some distance between them and the Brewers and the Astros. So very, very interesting how Chicago has done this. They've done it without any fanfare at all. And when you look in the standings, it's almost a surprise to see the Cubs at the top. They just haven't done it in spectacular fashion. They've just been very, very steady with good pitching and timely hitting and the return, of course, of Aramis Ramirez and the good fortune of Rich Harden to pitch like Rich Harden.
I guess, Joe, if you're looking for another great race, it's the American League Central, that Detroit and Minnesota. Minnesota finding a way to win some close games versus the White Sox.
Yeah, and I mean, Minnesota seems to be competitive each and every year. They always seem to have a bunch of cadre of young arms to just keep plugging in. The latest is Anthony Swarzak. Francisco Liriano wakes up with a swollen forearm. I mean, what's that all about? You had to have some inkling. Would you get bit by a spider? I mean, you had to have some inkling that your forearm was acting up. But all of a sudden, yesterday, Minnesota had a proclamation. It was a revelation at the, altar of the Baggy Dome that, hey, Francisco's got a swollen forearm. Well, he's been cleared this morning. It looks like he'll pitch on Wednesday, but I'm always very skeptical of reports like that, a pitcher having a swollen forearm, and just noticed it on the morning he's going to start. So you would think that Liriano maybe is not 100% right now. But Baker is back. Baker's been terrific. Blackburn has been very, very good. Kevin Slowey's done for the year. He was solid, not spectacular, but solid in his 10 games. Glenn Perkins is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Perkins. On the road, he gets crucified at home. He's a decent pitcher. The lineup is the lineup. Spahn is a catalyst. Maurer's one of the best hitters in baseball. Morneau is having a giant year. Can you say giant year? And Jason Kubo has been better than all of them against right-handed pitching. He's batting .412 against righties. So when you see a team playing well, it's just a lot of good things are happening. And for the Tigers, Verlander couldn't have picked a better time to be Verlander. Porcello has been terrific. Edwin Jackson has been one of the top pitchers, most consistent pitchers in baseball this season. And Fernando Rodney really took charge of that bullpen and made it effective. So it's a great race. It's a great race. And from a fantasy perspective, it's all good.
Joe DiMaio joins us. One last question from FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Since we're in the baseball and now football season, Brett Favre made it official. So, unbelievably, I got an email here that says we want to have a draft in a couple of weeks, which is way too early. But, Joe, if somebody has to get that draft done here in the next couple of weeks, do you take Tavarius Jackson or do you take Sage Rosenfels?
No, you're better off taking me. from a fantasy perspective, now, in leagues that play two quarterbacks, you have a whole different thing. But if you just have to play one quarterback in a league in formats that play one quarterback, well, there are 18 better quarterbacks, 19 quarterbacks, maybe even more, maybe 20 better quarterbacks than the Tavares/Rosenfeld combination. At best, in round 16 of a 15-round draft, you reach for one of those guys as a bye week replacement. But, you'll find him on waivers during bye weeks, so don't worry about it.
I like it because that's what I think. Yeah, I agree. I agree. Poor Vikings. Well, Joe, next Thursday we'll catch up with you again, and we're going to be getting close to the home stretch of baseball where half the teams, if they're not already out, will definitely be out, and we'll be getting deep into NFL talk as well. Again, everybody, FantasyPlayersEdge.com is where your daily and minutely information can be found. Joe, enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, Doug, Daddy, you guys enjoy the weekend as well. Have a fabulous week. Catch up with you next Thursday.
Sounds good. Joe DiMaio, FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Let's take our final break. Back to wrap it up right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
It was just last week when a Doug and Daddy listener was overheard making
this remark.
Gonads are useful for their purpose, but they are no substitute for brains.
Guess that about sums it up.
Salon Paw's Pain Relief Patch presents the Ow, My Aching Back Patch, the Just One More Time Patch. Salon Paw's gives you the pain-relieving power of a pill in a patch. It's ultra-thin, ultra-flexible. And Salon Paw's is the only FDA-approved over-the-counter topical pain relief patch. It goes right to the site of your pain. It's the Keeping Up with Johnny patch and the Boy Do I Feel Better patch. Get the power of a pill in a patch. Also try Salon Paw's Arthritis Pain, available at major drugstores and local pharmacies.
Announcing double cash for your old car at your Dodge, Chrysler, and Jeep dealer. Turn in your old car and get up to $4,500 government credit toward one of our new, more fuel-efficient vehicles. Plus, everyone gets up to $4,500 cash allowance on virtually every one of our models. Get to your Dodge, Chrysler, and Jeep dealer today. $3,500 or $4,500 government credit and $3,500 to $4,500 factory cash allowance when you turn in your old vehicle with combined new 18 MPG and purchase an eligible new vehicle. See your participating dealer for eligibility details or visit cars.gov. Chrysler, Jeep, and Dodge are registered trademarks of Chrysler Group, LLC.
Sam takes pride in lowering his energy bills, regardless of what it takes to lower them.
Excuse me, sweetheart.
I was watching that.
But now, Trane can help fiscally minded people like Sam.
Sam!
Because upgrading your central air system to a high-efficiency Trane model can potentially save up to 59% on your energy bills.
Sorry, son.
Let's power back up, Sam. Then let's find you a Trane dealer.
Upgrade your current central air system with a high-efficiency Trane model at Fidelke Heating and Air in Kearney.
It's hard to stop a train.
Hey, Nebraska, here at Big O Tires, our red, white, and blue tag sale has been such a hit, we've decided to extend the sale through the end of July. If you want to save from $20 to $100 on your next set of tires, get to Big O Tires now. Just pick your tag and pick your savings. We guarantee the lowest tire prices in town, and we honor all competitors' service coupons, so you know you're getting the best deal. So stop by and save through July at our red, white, and blue tag sale, only at Big O Tires, the team you trust.
ESPN Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather. Brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on 25th Street in Kearney. For a square deal and a fair shake.
If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
Mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies develop through the day today with a high in the upper 70s. Northwest winds will also turn a bit gusty at times. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies and light winds with a low around 52. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 66.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Don't forget to get signed up for the Doug and Daddy and ESPN Superstation First Annual Golf Challenge at Indian Head. You can pick your day, August 13th or 14th. It's a Thursday and a Friday, but you don't play both days. You just have to play one. You get a tee time. Contact Indian Head for your tee time. For all the information and your entry form, go to our website, ESPNSuperstation.com. Daddy, you're fired up. The Royals have made a trade.
Well, they've acquired outfielder and Hall of Famer Josh Anderson from the Detroit Tigers for cash consideration. Anderson's reporting date has not been yet determined. Royals will make corresponding roster move at that time. Anderson's 26 years old. He spent the entire season, being a Hall of Famer that he is, batting .242 with four doubles, four triples, 16 RBIs, 22 runs scored in limited time. He did steal 13 on 15 attempted bases, but congratulations, Royals. Sounds like you're getting a dandy there.
At least he played for somebody that won a game once.
Well,
let's go to the fishing circuit.
Hey, I want to congratulate. This got away from us when we were in Dallas, too, but Scott and Mark Willis.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did. 2009 Cabela's National Team Championship at Devil's Lake. Scott out of Shelton, Mark out of Kearney, took home third place. Congratulations, guys.
I got a 250 teams, right?
255 or 258 teams, so congratulations to them. They were actually leading after the first day and dropped to third, but nonetheless, congratulations, guys. Great work.
Royals baseball coming up after our sportscast here at the top of the hour on ESPN Radio. They're wrapping up their series with the Baltimore Orioles. And we want to thank Brad Archer, coach of the state champion Kearney Post 52 Juniors for the third straight year, and Joe DeMail from FantasyPlayersEdge.com for joining us. Tomorrow, preseason defensive player of the year in the Big 12 in Domokong Su, and Kansas quarterback Todd Reesing will join us on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.